Yes, the recording is started. Please go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures PDP Subgroup C call held on Thursday, the 29th of November, 2018. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you're only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? Okay, hearing no one. Just want to remind everyone to please state your name before speaking for the recording, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. And with this, I'll turn it back over to Michael Fleming. Please begin.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Subgroup C. Today we're going to be talking about the public comments. We just briefly got started on those last week. We only hit the first question and hopefully we'll be able to make some good progress through that, but we do have a lot of, so let's try to get as far as we can. I just do want to take a brief moment to ask if there are any SOIs updates or if anyone has any AOB that they would like to propose for the end of the meeting. Hearing none, let's go ahead and get started where we left off last week. You will notice a few changes to the sheet as staff has been working through this very well. And as trailblazers as we are, we have been able to have a few slight adjustments that you'll see that there's a lot of green coloring going on. This is merely to reflect that we have, this is what areas that we have agreement, and it's just a preliminary analysis at this current time. If, as we go through this, if we see that we need to make a few adjustments to the green box, then we are able to do so. So let's just keep that in mind as we move forward then. All right. As always, this is an exercise of reviewing the comments to see what exactly they're saying and to look for anything that we need to maybe clarify. And rather than discussing the material or the or if we support personally ourselves. And in order to do this efficiently, we'll go look at all comments that are in agreement. Then we'll look at a few that have new ideas or might have a different opinion. And then we'll also look at those that diverge from the question itself. So, with that stated, let's begin. Steve Chen, thank you for providing the link to the Google document. I will be looking in the room in AC just to make sure I'm able to capture everyone's comments as we move forward. So I have to pause to zoom in, please, to bear with me. Thank you very much. All right, then. I will read the question, and then scroll goes a little bit back and forth. Okay, this is working for me. Okay, hold up. The screen is alive. Has a mind of its own. There we go. Okay. So, 2.8.1.C.2. For all types of objections, the parties to a proceeding given the opportunity to agree upon a single panelist or a three-person panel, bearing the costs accordingly. Steve, is this hidden at all? Is this is all the text there? Let me just change over to make sure to the Google document to make sure that is everything. I feel that there might have been a little bit more text there. That's it. Okay, good. Sorry, I'm just waking up right now, so I might be having some moments of just trying to capture the sunlight. Okay. All right, then. So, I hear a little bit of background noise. Please make sure to mute yourself if you are not speaking at the current time. Thank you. So, for basically saying this is, as the question, as the recommendation reads, and for those in agreement, we have first Marcus that is agreeing with this. Briefly saying also that there should be options in all cases for one or for three-person panels, and picks should be allowed to be amended in response to an objection. So it's adding a little flavor to the agreement. We also have the BRG that respond that supports this recommendation. We have INTA that is offering support for the recommendation. We have NewStar that supports this preliminary recommendation. Fairwinds Partners also supports this. The Registered Stakeholder Group supports this recommendation and adds their own comments on this, but again, if you're not speaking, please do mute yourself. Thank you. And they do add a little bit more text to this, but Jim, we'll come back to that in just a minute. I'm not going to read the whole comment specifically. IPC also supports this. So, good. And now that we have gone through the agreement, let us talk about the comment specifically, if there's anything we need to address. And Jim has raised the comment about seeing if we need to, if changing picks should be raised as a new idea or as what I like to call new flavor to this. And excuse me. I do believe that there might have been other areas that talked about changing picks in response to objections. I cannot remember in my early morning wake-up, but let's see. For now, let's just mark this as a new idea, and I think that it, we can... There was a similar area as well. Sorry, there was an area where all that other specific area of the objections, if not objections, but another category of topics that might have actually talked about this a little bit. Steve's typing in, so perhaps you can help refresh my memory. Yes. So Steve's looking now. So while Steve is looking for that, we can also look at the other comments that have been raised. Majority of these are just in support, I'd like to say, of the recommendation. The majority of the comments that are in agreement basically say that they support the recommendation. Does anyone feel that we need to talk about another comment specifically? I don't hear any, so maybe we can move on to the next category, to the last comment that was provided in response to this recommendation, which is also marked as a new idea. Hold on a moment. So it was from, yes, the business constituency. Oh, that's wrong. I guess that's a little hard to follow. Okay, all right. No, this is from ALAC. Okay, oh, sorry, Steve is going to come back to us with a response. Let me, before we jump into ALAC, let's just look at that. Section 2.8.1.C.5 says provide applicants with the opportunity to amend an application or add public interest comments in response to concerns raising an objection. So, yeah, one of the things that I've noticed about a lot of these comments that have been provided here is that it's the same comment in response to several different and several different questions, so we might have some overlap in some of the ideas that are brought up, and we'll be reading the same comments probably a numerous amount of times, but let's cross that bridge when we get there. Okay, Jim? We'll just put it there. Just mark it at that one. That section 2.8.1.3.5. Okay. So for ALAC, they have responded that they neither support this recommendation, but they offer, they neither support nor oppose, but they offer additional considerations regarding cost, especially in the fact that they believe utmost attention must be given to, one, making overall cost of filing and seeing through objections much more affordable to communities and non-profit organization objectors, and two, disallow a wealthier party to a proceeding from dictating terms to insist on a three-person panel and prejudice challenge of its wealthy, and prejudice the challenge of its less wealthy. Am I reading that correct? Is that word just sound funny to me? Of its less wealthy opponent. Okay, thank you. All right. So, does anyone have anything they'd like to raise on this comment that has been provided by the ALAC? If not, we'll take it as is that they have concerns with the recommendation itself, and we'll include that in our report to the full working group. Hearing none, I'll go ahead. Okay. Michael, you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Just on my reading of the ALAC comment, as it says, it's neither agree nor disagree, but the concern about cost and wealthier opponents, I almost would put this as a disagree or new idea instead of concerns, because it reads to me as a way we need to phrase it to the when we address this. So I may put it, I would change this from concerns to concern slash new idea.
Thank you, Michael. That's a good idea to keep in mind. That is a good suggestion. I do like the aspect of marking it as new idea as well. I wouldn't put it in a disagreement because it's not really jumping out there to disagree fully, but as you say, raise a new idea that some concerns need to be given in such situations. So we could make that change, I think. Is there anyone else that would like to jump in on this? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and move forward with the next question. All right, then. Next question is 2.8.1.C.3. I must publish for each type of objection all supplemental rules as well as all criteria to be used by panelists for the filing of responses to and evaluation of each objection. Such guidance for decision-making by panelists must be more detailed than what was available prior to the 2012 round. And for our comments that are in agreement, we have the Internet.Trademark Organization Limited agreeing, supporting this publication. Supporting the publication of suggested guidance. I guess also supports transparent process for resolving conflicts. The Brand Registry Group also supports this. New Star supports this. Fair Wind supports this. The IPC supports this. And then we have agreement with a new idea, Mark's new idea from the ALAC, stating it goes further to state that guidance for panelists should be substantial insofar as decisions pertaining to definitions of community and public interest, allegations of conflict of interest and the part of objections, and especially in the independent objector, and whether to apply an examination of the purpose and use of an applied force string as opposed to just the term itself are concerned. We do raise the aspect of an conflict of interest versus an independent objector in another question as well, so I'll leave that out for now. But here, sitting with a new idea, let me just turn my screen up a little bit so I can relate. Okay. So the guidance for panelists should be substantial, pertaining to definitions of community and public interest. I feel that this is just highlighting the aspect of conflict of interest rather than a new idea specifically, or just giving such guidance to the panelists. I don't necessarily feel that it's something that hasn't been done already. So, does anyone have anything they'd like to say on this comment? Steve, go ahead.
Thanks, Michael. This is Steve from staff. This is actually sort of a general comment, but also directly in reference to this one. If you look on the right-hand column, what staff has tried to do when there's sort of ambiguity in in the response or the comment fitting into the agreement, new idea, concern structure neatly, what we try to do is add a little bit of context. If you scroll to the right, what you'll see is that it says new idea, in this case, an additional consideration / suggestion. So to the extent that's helpful, I just wanted to point that out, that that's there. Again, staff is going through a number of comments, and we very likely will probably miss some nuance here and there, but we're trying to put some of that nuance into that sidebar so that it helps facilitate this process. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. Not a problem at all. Michael, you have your hand up as well. Please go ahead.
I would just add the tag concern to this because it talks a lot about how this should be implemented. So it's agreement, concern, and new idea, if that's the label, or agreement and concern. Because it's talking about how it should be implemented, even though big suggestion. So just 2 cents.
Thank you, Michael. We can take that into consideration. Let's look at a few of the other comments as well before we take on the aspect of the earmarking that is concerns as well. I think one of the acts of the just before we jump into that, I think one of the aspects of our earmarking that is concerns as well is when. Is the comment itself, whether or not it clearly states that it does not agree or disagree, but this one itself does say to its support. That's why we have mark agreement at this point. But let's, as we go further, let's just continue it and we can keep that in consideration. So INTA has also supports for this recommendation and provides suggestion to provide case studies or specific examples for each of the criteria to assist panelists. The Registry Stakeholder Group also supports this, and they also support with adjustment to text, stating that ICANN must publish as part of contemporaneously I just cannot read very well this morning, excuse me. ICANN must publish as part of or contemporaneously with the applicant guidebook for each type of objection. So it needs to be published in order to, yes, needs to be published with or contemporaneously with the applicant guidebook. Good. And then ICANN.org, text in blue is the text that was supposed to be bold in italic. Okay. So we should have added this. Sorry, first of all, thank you for your comment. I just want to ask for clarity purposes. The text in blue here should be the one that should be bold and italic. Could you offer a little bit more details in regards to what you mean by that? We'll wait for Heath to type out his answer. I see. Right after that, proposed change in bold and italics. I see. Okay. Thank you for that. We'll just make sure to mark that and thank you. We'll make sure to take note of that. Okay. With that, I'll go ahead and go over to the ICANN word comment. This one is concerns, or more accurately, clarification provided and requires additional detail in the recommendation. So, this notes that ICANN.org already publishes all supplemental rules and procedures, requests clarification on what guidance for decision-making is referencing. They go on to state, there's a bit of text here stating that it is unclear to ICANN.org what guidance for decision-making is referenced in this preliminary recommendation. It also states it would be helpful if the PDP working group could clarify what additional information is meant by guidance for decision-making. I am unable to respond to this specifically, not being able to have a clear mind in the morning, but also not having full background information on this. If anyone that maybe has been very active in this in the past, and the objections itself, able to perhaps add any response to what ICANN.org is requesting more clarity on? Cheryl or Jeff, not to put you on the spot. Oh, Jamie, thank you very much.
Yeah, Jamie Baxter for the record. I'm not sure if this is going to be helpful, but maybe this is one way of looking at it. Because what seemed to be quite prevalent in the 2012 round were situations where vagueness of the guidance, language, or even the direction of the AGB, the applicant guidebook, led to varied interpretations on behalf of the applicant. And then applications were built around those interpretations and submitted. What didn't happen, however, was a reconciliation of that vagueness as it was expressed within the application. And I think this led to a great deal of frustration that never really got acknowledged or adjusted when it came to the evaluations or possibly even the objection process. So, maybe this is something that's trying to be drawn out here. It's certainly a sentiment that I think is important to acknowledge. Thanks,
Jamie. That is important to note. So, I mean, what we originally had was very vague, I believe, in the past, as you've stated. So if we can take this and I think it would help if we kind of work, maybe put a little penmanship to this, maybe, or just some more ideas over mailing this to see where we might able to see if there is additional unclarity with what it is exactly we're proposing. It also probably helps if we go back to the initial report itself and just look at exactly what the language is stating in order to see if there really, it really is unclear. But I can say that if this is a suggestion that's being brought up by ICANN.org at this point, for implementation purposes as well, we will need to have more clarity there to give proper instruction moving forward. So let's take that as a to-do off here, and we can we can work on that a little bit offline, or at least outside of this call, so that we can move forward. Thank you very much, Jamie. That was very helpful. All right, then. I am going to move to 2.8.1.C.3, unless there is anyone else that would like to add to 2.8.1.C.3. Hearing none, let's move on. So, this next one is the extension of the quick look mechanism, which currently applies to only the limited public interest objection to all objection types. So we'd be extending this from limited public interest objection type to all the rest as well. The quick look is designed to identify and eliminate frivolous and or abusive objections. So I will go through the agreements then. So we have the Council of Europe that agrees with this, and I think that this is the highlighted portion of their text is the one that is in agreement with this, saying it appears useful to enlarge the scope of use of the quick look initial evaluation mechanism. And we have the Brand Registry Group supporting this. Neustar supports this. The Registry Stakeholder Group supports this recommendation. The IPC supports this. Mark Monitor offers support in this in the green portion of their text, which is also used for other answers. And then we have agreement with New Idea from INTA, stating that it is, however, clear that it is easier to objectively assess the limited interest public objection based on generally accepted legal norms of normality, of morality, and principles of international law than it is to assess the other grounds of objection, string confusion, legal rights objections, and community objections. All of which involve third-party rights. In the event of a quick look mechanism is to So I really am having hard issues reading this one. My sincere apologies. I'm a horrible narrator. In the event a quick look mechanism is to be applied to these other grounds of objection, ICANN should provide clear guidance on what constitutes a frivolous or abusive claim in the context of third-party rights and review or approval or appeal process made available to challenge dismissal of this ground. And as Jeff stated, it seems like almost full agreement. Okay, Jeff, you're offering. We're typing. Okay. Feel free to jump on the mic, the phone, everyone. This is an opportunity to hear the voices of everyone. I know that my voice is like chirping birds in the morning, but I'd love to hear from you as well. No, Jeff, go on ahead. Perfect. Happy to have it.
Sure, I'll help you maybe take a glass of water or something. This is Jeff Newman. Yeah, I mean, I was just saying for this entire section, it seems like there's pretty much straight agreement across the line on the concept of a quick look. I think the concern expressed by the ALAC is more of they're not so sure that the same criteria that was applied for the quick look in the limited public interest objection necessarily would apply across the board. So they're just basically saying, hey, keep in mind that the same standards may not be, or you may not be able to use the same standards in every type of objection, but it still seems like they do support the quick look. And the INTA one, kind of saying the same thing, but just looking at kind of saying the same thing in the fact that the string confusion objection is one where it might need a little bit different grounds for a quick look. But I still think that does support the notion, if I'm reading that correctly. So I think that's good.
you very much, Cheryl. Can you back on this? Okay. Oh, Jeff, I think you're still on mute. Thank you. All right, then let's take that. And I do agree with Jeff on that point. So then we also have an ALAC that is offering agreement, and we, with concern, they state that on a practical level, on a practical level, can and should all the same criteria used in the quick look mechanism be applied to all types of objections? So I think this is kind of going in the area that Inta has just raised, whether or not all the criteria can be used in the aspect of quick look. So that is definitely something to look at there. And Marcus has an umbrella, it's an umbrella comment. And stating that they support the transparent process for resolving conflict. But it doesn't really get into the meat of this aspect, so I'm going to leave it outside of this. And in response to your question or your comment, Justine, so yes, it is, ALAC doesn't really necessarily offer specific advice in that aspect, so that's why I don't think we have offered the Marcus new idea, but rather raises it as a question. So that's why I think we kind of put it as an aspect of concern in regards to the marking of this. But we can group those, we can kind of keep these ideas the same. There is a little, you know, it is an Excel document, and sorry, it's a workbook document there. So there's a sheet as well, and we can always mark that together on the right-hand side. So, let's go ahead and move on to 2.8.1.C.5. If there is no other more feedback on this. Oh, Jamie, you have your hand raised. Please feel ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Jamie Baxter for the record. I think maybe in kind of response to, or at least what they're getting at in the ALEC question there is, for example, as far as the same criteria for each objection, if an objector does not have standing, I don't think they're going to succeed any type of objection. So that may be one way of answering that question, is that if you can't establish standing in a quick look, then it's not even worth proceeding with the objection because it doesn't really have any chance of passing. So maybe that's sort of the question they're asking there.
Thanks, Jamie. I'm just going to read that question. Yeah, I think that's a good interpretation of the question. And then Jeff offers more input, stating that, so in summary, to full working group, we would say that there is full support from the comments for expanding it quickly, expressing that there's concerns that are expressed whether or not the same criteria, and that it may not be applicable to all types of objections. So, and as Jamie has stated, that would it even be worth doing the quick click, I mean, if the same criteria could not be established. I think that would be very helpful to that summary as well. So then, let's go ahead and move on to 2.8.1.C.5. Alrighty then. This next one states, provide applicants with the opportunity to amend an application or add public interest comments in response to concerns raised in an objection. And I think at this point we'll be able to analyze the comment that was raised by Marcus. Marquez. I really don't think I'm pronouncing that correctly. But you can read it the same, nonetheless. Marks. Thanks, Jeff. Thank you. I appreciate that. Marks has stated this in a previous comment. It's the same lovely comment, but we'll address it here. So, they're in agreement stating that PICs should be allowed to be amended in response to an objection. Newstar supports this comment. The Council of Europe, the green portion. Oh, sorry, my screen is alive again. It's good. Just gotta scroll back up. It keeps going down. Okay. So the green portion of the Council of Europe's comment says that providing applicants with the opportunity to amend an application to add public comment interest, public interest commitments in response to a concern raised in objection. So literally in response. The BRG, the Brand Registry Group, also supports this. Mark Monitor raised a comment supporting this. But they also state that not limited to the use of PICs, but also the RCEP comments as applicable. Sorry, the RCEP commitments as applicable. So RCEP as well. Yes. And concerns were raised by INTA with agreement, provided that they're in agreement, provided that there is not a mandatory requirement that circumvents other options to overcome the objection. Registry Stakeholder Group was also in agreement with concerns, saying that so long as the dispute resolution provider panel attributed arbitrator must determine if the proposed PIC or application amendment resolves their objection. IPC is also in support with concern, supporting provided the PICs are published for comment. excuse me. And then we have merely concerns that are raised. So the ALAC's concern is that the applicant be given the choice of withdrawing its application in the event of the objector prevails. The working group is urged to also give considerations to the matter of refunds for withdrawals, as well as the appeals mechanism for the community objection dispute resolution process. I'm just making sure that's the correct text highlighted here. Okay. Yeah, so there, I think that this comment is worth noting, that it's basically with offering the option to withdraw as well, and also other mechanisms. So really, PICs is not the only one, not the only fish in the bucket. And then ICANN.org also provides concerns here, stating that it would be helpful if the PDP working group could clarify what the expectations are on the applicant, objector, and ICANN.org to satisfy in response to concerns raised in an objection part of the preliminary recommendation. Additionally, in the case of community applications that might elect community priority evaluations in a later phase of the program, the PDP working group might want to consider the potential impact to other applicants and the contentions that if the community applicant is provided the opportunity to change its application or add public interest commitments. So, clarity on the aspect of in response. Starting to hear myself again. Okay. In response to concerns raised in the objection, as well as considering what the effect of some of these changes of allowing applicants to add PICs might be to other applicants in the aspect of community priority evaluation. So, so Jeff has stated that in text that there's general support with some concerns about the details. I agree with that. And I think we'll flesh out a majority of those details, but I do feel that the ALEX comment in the ICANN.org one is worth picking at a little bit here. Excuse me. So, Steve Chan, thank you. Staff comment has clarification might be needed for the ALEX comment, since our recollection goes, withdrawals and refunds were available after losing in an objection. I, too, am of the same opinion, having participated in a few myself. But I think that is anyone from NEC here? Sure, I know you're in another call. I'm not going to pick on you. Seeing none, then we might want to consider reaching out in this aspect. But the ICANN org comment, I think, is worth picking out as well. Does anyone have anything they'd like to jump in on this for, to add? Well, Justine's typing, all right. So Justine asked, what about appeals and probably in regards to the ALAC comment? So that is an aspect that we might want to look at as well. But seeing as we don't have much discussion on this point right now, I think we'll just move on to the next question and make sure that we need to come back to. So the action item here is to come back to the ICANN org concerns and see if that we cannot address these better. Alrighty then. 2.8.1.D.1. So GAC advice must include clearly articulated rationale, including the national or international law upon which it is based. So Marx supports this, ALAC supports this, Council of Europe supports this, INTA supports this, NUSTAR supports this, IPC supports this, the NCSTG supports this. Yes, their comment pretty much says that. The CCTRT report also is supporting this. Mark Monitor supports, Grand Registry Group supports, ROISG supports, and then we get to the, there goes my screen again. and then the last comment is divergence and agreement. This response is from the GAC. It's kind of a two-prong response. I think it's overall support to discuss options to increase transparency. And I think this is applied to multiple aspects of the multiple responses in regards to some of the questions. But they really state that, however, the GAC does not consider that the PDP should make recommendations on GAC activities which are carried out in accordance with the bylaws and GAC's internal procedures. So divergence, I think, is the portion we should be highlighting in here. Any takers that would like to jump in and perhaps give their 2 cents or even 3 cents? If we're generous. Hearing none, we shall proceed forward. Okay. So divergence on that last comment from the GAC. 2.8.1.D.2. Excuse me. Future GAC advice and board action thereupon for categories of GTLDs should be issued prior to the finalization of the next applicant guidebook. Any GAC advice issued after the applicant has begun must apply to individual strings only, based on the merits and details of the application, not on groups or classes of applications. So, the ALAC supports this. Brand Registry Group supports this. New Star supports this. IPC supports this. The CCTRT report is supporting this. Yep. Okay, just making sure it's not offering anything new. The NCSG report supports this. Yep. Okay. Mark Monitor supports this. And then we get to the Registry Stakeholder Group. Comment that's supporting with concerns, and their concerns are they believe that GAC advice should be issued against specifically identified applications, yes. And the GAC advice was provided against strings encompassing all members of a contention set rather than individual applications. This also contradicts procedures defined in the applicant guidebook. The applicants for a single string may propose vastly different business models. I'm not sure how this is giving concerns rather than just stating what has already been said, but I'll just take it as agreement, because what I don't see is a specific concern that we have not necessarily addressed here, but it does highlight the aspect that they have different, that applicants have different business models, and that's why it's being made. So let's take that with that. And then INTA is agreeing with this, and they also provide a new idea stating that INTA also suggests, requires that the GAC advice nominate and provide contact details for an authorized GAC. Contact who is knowledgeable about this, probably to give better, to be able to act as kind of a liaison, not using those words specifically. So we'll use that as a new idea there. And then the GAC is diverging from this, stating the same exact thing. They're happy to talk about it, but we shouldn't be talking about it. So, sorry, that's too much of a summary. They're happy to talk about it, but they do not feel that the PDP should be making recommendations on GAC activities, which are governed by the bylaws and GAC's internal procedures. Sorry, Anne, you have your hand up. I'll let you take on the INTA comment and give me a chance to break.
Thanks, Michael. Yeah, I just put my hand up so that you can take a drink of water. really, I appreciate all that you're doing in summarizing. I think it's notable, though, that INTA...
And your volume is really low. Could you speak up just a little bit more, please? Thank you.
Oh, sorry. I had my mic out of place. I apologize. This is Anne for the transcript, and thanks, Michael, for all that you're doing in summarizing these comments. I just wanted to point out that in the INTA comment, they also stated that they have no objection to general categories of concerns being expressed by the GAC. And I think, you know, I can't speak for INTA, obviously, but I think that one of the areas of concern, especially for trademark holders, has been the area of, you know, regulated industries and eligibility. And so I don't think we can let that comment drop. Now, it's listed as a new idea, I think, as well, probably because it wasn't really expected in the 2012 round, the whole issue of, you know, safeguards for highly regulated industries. But I think it's something, the way I interpret this comment, that INTA is saying that they believe is legitimate in terms of consumer protection. And I don't know if that's, you know, something that we want to raise in the full working group, but I think it's significant enough to raise here at least. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne. And I do feel that there's something that we should raise. The aspect of liaison addresses multiple areas that it could be applied to. And at this point, I think what we'll do is we will merely raise this as a as it is to the working group, saying that this needs to be considered as well. And yes, so thank you for bringing that out. Gigi,
thanks,
in response to your question, oh, go ahead, and if you have something more to add.
No, I just said thank you, Michael. Dan, thanks.
Oh, no, okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. And then, Gigi, in response to the question, how do we handle the contrary position? Again, this exercise is merely just going through and looking at specific, I think, rather than saying just someone disagrees and looking at their reasoning, let me restate that. So the exercise, as I've stated, is we're just going through and kind of summarizing these. We're trying to just kind of doing the first pass, if you will, and then basically the ones that need to be highlighted out of this. So obviously, the majority of agreement comments that are in agreement will probably be the ones that we say that all these people, all these wonderful contributors agree. But obviously, the ones with divergence will be highlighted and given to the full working group to, I think what we're doing here is probably giving attention to the validity of the, or the, I think, valor, the value of the comment itself, and seeing if it really contributes to the question in response to if it's divergence and concerns, but, excuse me, but, we don't make any final call on these, obviously, so we're giving this to the full working group. And in the final report itself, how that will be written by the full working group, I will turn that over to Jeff, since he's the overall chair here, about contrary positions. Jeff, could you answer Gigi's question in better detail than I?
So, sorry, this is Jeff. I was talking to you. So with contrary positions, so our role is to try to summarize for the full working group what patterns are. So for the other two, it was basically to say things like, there were, for the other items before this, there was full support for the general concept of this, but there were some concerns around some implementation, including, these things. For things where there's actual divergence, it's going to be important for the group to state to the full working group, the subgroup to state to the full working group that there were X number of comments that were in support from these groups on this notion, but there were expressions of divergence from these groups. If the full group can then think of a way, make an assessment as to whether it's divergence on all the parts or whether there's some agreement but some divergence, that's all going to go to the full working group, and it's up to the full working group then to discuss that issue and see where it lands on that topic. So if it's from the GAC, it's going to be for the full working group really to weigh the comments. And I think we had a discussion in a separate working group just earlier today, actually, where, I'm not going to come out and say that some groups deserve more weight than others, because that's not true. But I'm sure the full working group will be not only looking at the substance of the comments themselves, but when they're evaluating the comments, will likely also look at who's making those comments and what level of support there are for those comments. So I know that doesn't fully answer the question, but at the end of the day, it's really for the full working group to we have to make the full working group aware of the divergence, and then it's for the full working group to debate. Thanks,
Steve. Thanks, Jeff. And Steve, would you like to add to that since you're kind of still up?
Sure. Thanks, Michael. This is Steve Chan from staff. And so the way that the question is worded from Gigi, it's sort of a complicated and nuanced way that it's written. So as Jeff and Michael had mentioned, the goal at this point is to assess how the comment relates to the preliminary recommendation. And can someone mute their line, please? Cause an echo. Thanks. And so at this point, the divergence or concerns are in respect to the preliminary recommendation or options or whatever the case may be. And so at the end of the day, once it's referred to the full working group, that quote-unquote divergence could, in fact, turn out to be the actual preliminary recommendation. So I don't know. It's kind of a nuanced, complicated response to your question. And I might be just confusing you, but I just thought that might be worth bringing up. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. And thank you, Jeff, again. I think at this point we can probably say that it's going to be up to the full working group to discuss the divergence aspects, and we really don't know the full result of what the final report will say in regards to that until we do weigh those there. Seeing as that we are close to the hour, I'm going to leave us off here. One thing I do want to note lastly is the fact of our progress for this call. I think this is a good example of how well we're able to move forward when we do not have a lot of heated discussion specifically in regards to a comment. But we went through about 12 pages, give or take, and we have, I think, as I can see, as I feel, we may have two or three more calls on the objections alone in this regard. So just keeping that in mind, we also have about six or seven other topics that we need to get through. Some of those we'll be able to do two topics in one call. So there's very few comments for some of those. But others, we might have to stretch two calls as well. So we are on a very, very tight schedule. And I think we need to consider some aspects for how to move forward, but we'll take this back to the full working, to the leadership and discuss to see how we can move forward a little bit as well. In the meantime, I hope you have a wonderful weekend and good bit of rest, and we'll come back next week for another episode of Subgroup C. The next call is, that's a good question. I don't have my calendar in front of me, but I do believe it's next week on the 5th, 6:15 UTC. So for those of us in Asia, that would be a good late night call. But all right, then. I look forward to seeing you then. All right, then. In the meantime, have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, everyone, for joining. Today's meeting is adjourned. You can disconnect your lines. And Ashley, can you stop the recording?